You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Every week, win, lose or draw, talking all things United. This is the United People's Podcast.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's probably not a good evening if you're watching the highlights of the Arsenal game. Surprisingly, me, Neil, Bow, and Jake, who's going to sit in silence because his headphones aren't working properly, we're all actually sitting here with a smile on our face. We're going to speak about the Arsenal game, all right? Another game at the Emirates, another time where United are 1-0 up. Another game where we concede quite a quick equaliser and we go on to concede a last-minute losing goal. Bow, you were there. We're going to speak about that. We're going to speak about everything from the game, you know, individual performances, any positives we can take, Hoyland's impact. And then we'll speak about Jadon Sancho and Erik ten Hag. And, well, never a dull day as a United fan, eh, Bow?
Yeah, it was... It's a lovely day out in the big smoke. The sun was shining. I drove down because I couldn't handle another all day drinking, so I cancelled my train and I decided to drive four drunks down. It was good. Got in just before kickoff, and normal, typical Arsenal United game. A bit of an edgy start. There wasn't really much in it. The first 20-25 minutes, Rashford just hug the touchline and I'm like, is he actually going to get involved in the game? And then bang, he scores out of nowhere. And we'd almost just stopped cheering, hadn't even finished a chant, and we've conceded.
35 seconds, by the way. 35 yeah, seconds, that was.
It literally was. I was thinking, trying to get the Rashford is Red song going, and literally it was like, Odegaard score is like, well, that's really taking the wind out of our sails. And then I think we defended... well, pretty much most of the game, but didn't really offer much going forward. It was purely on the counter. And as Jake's pointed out quite a few times, yes, there was the first experience of VAR kicking me in the nuts.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, the one of the lads, Mookie, who's with us, his brother's disabled, is on crutches. And after Garnacho scored, he was the only one still on his feet. The rest of us were literally head in the floor, feet in the air. And Casemiro comes over, literally his veins are popping out his head as he's giving it in front of the away end. And as I get off my chair, I just see VAR checking. I was like, they're going to overturn it. And then what obviously followed. I just don't understand how Declan Rice had that much time at the back post.
Mate, in the stadium after the... after the VAR decision, was there like a massive surge of energy from Arsenal fans?
It was just it happened, obviously. I think it was a bit of a get your own back because they obviously thought they got the penalty that was overturned.
Yeah.
I think, I don't really remember. I think I was just more just gutted for about 3-4 minutes and before kind of, but I think the corner like kind of came from nothing as well. It was like a shot from the edge, which just kind of went over miles over.
Mate, they were doing that all game, to be fair. They were putting in crosses to the back post, and then it was just that one right at the end, Neil. What was it, 97th minute and 101st minute? I mean, it doesn't get... I mean, that's exactly what happened last year, right? United won it up, conceded an equaliser, go on to lose a game to a late winner from Arsenal. It's kind of a repeat. It wasn't a repeat in the performance per se. Last year, we just got played off the park, and it was pretty horrendous to watch. I thought United were good for a draw there.
Yeah, against Arsenal. Thought we played pretty well. I think the first, I don't know what it's like in the stadium, but I think the first sort of 25, 30 minutes, it was so cagey. It's almost like they were told, don't go out there and concede. Like, it was so cagey, so standoffish. It's one of these things like, yeah, I mean, we were meant to do a pod last night. We were all too pissed off. But then she think, it wasn't like anyone was wrong. There was no sort of dodgy decisions. It was just, that was it. We lost. We just lost fair and square. Like, there was decisions.
What do you mean there wasn't a dodgy? VAR, right? You got to speak. VAR was brought in. It was supposed to be clear and obvious decisions. You cannot possibly apply that logic to that. It's millimeters.
Yeah, but it's offside.
Pre-VAR, if that goal was given, nobody would say, everybody would say, he's in line there. It's probably a hair's breadth. And if you look at the way Gabriel's leaning with his head's actually past his shoulders, what they've actually used to mark. So, I mean, it is. I mean, I don't really tend to moan about VAR decisions. Like I said, we got away with one against Wolves, swings and roundabouts. It's just the manner in which it just kills the experience of being in the stadium, of watching a football game.
Mate, that must have been an absolute fucking bummer, because that would have been such a good, that would have been an incredible goon.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the first one we didn't really get to enjoy because, like I said, 30 seconds later we conceded, but this was like 89th minute. Onana's come up. Casemiro's literally standing on the advertising hoarding. You see his, and he's just giving it. And it's like, then you just sit in a split second. Soon, and I was like, because I was convinced Garnacho had run from behind. So I did in my mind think, there's no way this is offside. I didn't even entertain the thought. But hey, is what it is. But it's just.
Have you repaired yourself, Bal? You sent quite a sad photo of your shins, and you fuck your shins up mid celebration.
Yeah. But actually, you do all that. I mean, Arsenal's actually quite good because the seats are so spacious, and it's like literally getting on the top of a chest of drawers to get on top of the chair. They're that high at the back. I messed up the seat because I got pushed and I ended up like literally on the row in front and like bang my shin on the top of the chair. So
you see that video, that bloke who like passed out. Yeah. What was that about? It just literally went.
Yeah, it was a hot.
I was all right.
It was a hot day.
But I like, regardless of like the VAR decision. What do you think about United conceding in the 97th and 101st minute? Because it's not good. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as say it's a collapse. I don't think it was a collapse, but it's pretty bad, isn't it? Because it's happened again against Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at the two and four substitutions at centre-half.
Oh, not mate, ideal. Finishing a game with Leicester City's centre-back partnership from the 2018 season. That's what Man United had away at Arsenal in 2023. You know how bad that is. I know that if you can pretty much go any Premier League club, if you put
was
their
it Wes Morgan's bit testimonial?
If you put their fourth and their fifth choice centre backs in, they're gonna look pretty crap. But man, my word, Evans and Maguire.
Yeah, there was a passage in the second half when they both came on, and literally the ball went Maguire to Evans out to Delot, and he kept going because neither of them wanted to be the one who actually had the balls to make that line breaking pass. They didn't want to take the responsibility. Understandable with Maguire because there's so much scrutiny around him. He doesn't want to be the one making a mistake, but ultimately cost us in terms of how we wanted to play the game.
I've like, Neil, what did you make of Onana's performance? Because I expected Arsenal to press us a lot. I was kind of surprised that they've sat off us, and I think that played into our hands a bit and allowed us to, like, that's probably why Eriksen had a good game, because Arsenal didn't, they sat off him so much, and then he's got loads of space, and then Eriksen can be class in that situation. But Onana just, he just looked calm and composed. And I think it was kind of part and parcel. For me, the first 25 minutes, like, it went tactically exactly how Ten Hag would have been describing that to the players. Like, stay calm, stay composed. If you can, try and hit through the counter, break through the middle, get the ball to Rashford. Onana was trying that ball three or four times, didn't work. And then Rashford got the goal. But do you think that was a sign of something to come with Onana?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, I guess you don't press a keeper that can, you don't press when you've got a keeper that can do that. He's like having another defender. It's almost like a sweeper. It's amazing. Like, I just love watching him. There was some stat that he had more touches in that first half, I think, than David De Gea had in his entire career there in all but three matches. Like, he just had.
Yeah, there's a stat today that he made more passes in a game than De Gea did since 2016.
Mm. I mean, it was brilliant. And I think you're right there, by the way. I think Arsenal just decided, because Onana was kind of goading Arsenal forward. He said, come on in, come forward if you want. I'll just pass it around you. And it was those nice little cute passes around the corner that were just like, sometimes when he's got two Arsenal players pressing and he passed through the middle of them, you look like, yeah, they're the passes that you need. And Arsenal couldn't really do much. Obviously, everything, the result itself is massively negative. But I'm not sure if it's just me, because I'm the eternal optimist and I kind of look for the shiny angles, but I feels like there was quite a few reasons to be positive, and probably Hoyland's cameo was one of the biggest ones. I'm not sure what it was like in the stadium, Val, but he's like, fuck, I've got a centre forward. There's a real centre forward there. Look.
You just instantly saw the shift of Martial just being in no man's land. Neither was he dragging the centre offs here or there. Neither was he coming short. Literally, he was just there, not offering nothing. And instantly you just saw Hoyland backing into Saliba and Gabriel, turning them, literally ragging them around like a doll. And suddenly, as he's holding that, Bruno comes into play. Bruno then lays it off to Rashford. And suddenly you've got three, four players overlapping. And it's a totally different style of play. How he's going to fare in front of goal, that's obviously the main thing, because he's not just a battering ram for defenders. And we're there, he's there to put the ball in the net. But yeah, first glance, I was really, really impressed.
Yeah, man, I thought it was a really, really promising cameo. There was another little like penalty shout. I'm not really too fussed about that one, but it's just nice to have a focal point, because that focal point changes the shape of that attack. And I think that's just something who was the last, would you say Cavani for a bit, maybe during lockdown? He was a pretty decent striker for a little tiny bit. But we're kind of scraping the barrel here between Van Persie and now.
I would say last one who could probably make
Zlatan, I suppose.
I would say Zlatan, who kind of made defenders feel a bit uneasy. Because literally both Gabriel and Saliba, they were both having to double up on him. And if that's going to happen a lot, that's going to create a lot of space for the likes of Bruno, Mount, and those coming from deep, especially the wide players.
I think, Neil, that's probably for me the biggest positive that I'm taking out of that game is fitness dependent. That's probably going to be the last game that we see, certainly in the short term future, without Amrabat and without Hoyland in the starting 11. Right. So if you're looking at that game there against Arsenal, was a game where defensively we looked more sound. Like, Casemiro was dropping in between the two centre backs. He was being that deeper line, progressive playmaker. And that's exactly what Amrabat's going to do. I think you're going to see Amrabat do that role. Casemiro play in a little bit more as, I think Mason Mount's going to be the one to miss out and sort of come back in and out of the team. We'll speak about him, but
squad player.
Yeah, squad player. I think you're right. I think you called that a few weeks ago. I think that's pretty much bang on. It's a very expensive squad player though. But
it is.
I'm excited. It's what I expect after the game. We didn't do the pod. I was like, I don't think I saw that. We'll have a night off. I was expecting to wake up feeling like, oh, but I feel as positive as you can do after you just lost 3-1 away to Arsenal.
It was a competitive game against a team that made us look stupid last year. And actually, I feel like we've learned from the previous games. I mean, they weren't just wandering through us in midfield, that they tightened it up, that lessons had been learned. And to be honest, if it wasn't for, it's galling because it was last minute. The injuries are probably more of a concern as well. So we got Bayern and Brighton next, and we're gonna have Leicester City's 2018 for that as well. So that's the thing.
Apparently, Lindelof was just ill, And apparently Martinez, there wasn't really an injury there.
And Martinez was just like, nah, don't fancy it today, lads.
One thing I was going to add, like Casemiro looked, again, I don't know, you probably had a better eye view than anyone, Val, but he looked knackered at the end. He looked like he was absolutely blowing.
Did he? I didn't think he did that bad. I thought he looked a bit trimmer than he did a couple of weeks ago. He's getting rid of that Brazilian Rodizio is going straight out the south end.
Yeah. I mean, I was more concerned about the fact that we were purely relied on just nicking the ball off them in the transitions, like say the halfway through our half and our just outside of edge of our box, and then just countering rather than trying to maybe maintain an element of control of the game. It's going to be difficult, I suppose, away from home.
I think that one there is more down to personnel. Like if you had Varane and Martinez and you had Amrabat in there, I think United would have been able to have a bit more control.
Yeah. I mean, like, say the Varane one, obviously you can't legislate for it's an injury, but like the Amrabat stuff, he's been isolated from the squad for the best part of a month, not kicked the ball for a month. There's no reason why that transfer should be fucking happening on deadline day at 10 o'clock at night. It's pathetic for a football club of this magnitude.
Mate, we made 4 signings on deadline day, man. Is this the first? This is the first pod since deadline day, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. 4 signings on deadline day. It's just like you can't be operating like that. And we don't even know that if the Cucurella situation had gone through, we might not have been able to bloody even afford Amrabat because it's a 10 mil loan fee. It's a pretty decent loan fee. It's far more than I think anybody expected.
I'd imagine that the loan fee would probably come off what they're probably paying the end.
No, I think it's 10 mil with a 20 mil option. So 30 mil overall. So I suppose it will come off what they're
paying. That's what he was priced at though, wasn't it? 30 million?
Yeah, that is what he was priced at. But it's just, I don't know whether United, either way, you're right. Amrabat should have been in that squad for that game there. And I'm pretty certain that he would have made a difference in that game. Probably, I think if Højlund was fit to start, I think that would have made the biggest difference. And I think you've got to make Martial was just invisible, right?
I mean, the biggest worry for me, obviously, got Martial. Then you got Anthony, who offers a lot of industry. The first half, he was the only one out of the front three. He wanted to get stuck in, but I don't want my right winger putting in tackles on the halfway line, and he tracks back. He helps his right back. But at the end of the day, you're an attacking winger. Can't beat a man. It's just like, he's going to do.
I actually thought he had a pretty good game. Even going forward, I thought he had a decent game.
Mm. And then obviously on top of that, you had the Jadon Sancho.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The United People's Podcast. Talking all things United.
Our next two games are Brighton and I think Bayern, and then I think we've got Crystal Palace back to back. It'll be interesting there, but hopefully we should have Amrabat in. We should have Højlund in. We should have, I'm hoping, Martinez fit and Lindelof both fully fit to start. Because I don't know how long Varane's going to be out for. And then let's see what that team can do going forward. But you lose 3-1 to Arsenal, you think it's going to be the story of the week. And then within 90 minutes, it's not even the biggest story coming out of United because of what happened with Jadon Sancho and Erik ten Hag. For anyone who doesn't know what happened, ten Hag was asked, I think it was post-match press conference. Anyway, he was asked why McTominay and Sancho weren't in the squad. He said, McTominay's ill. Sancho, his performances in training weren't good enough. That's why I've left him out of the squad for this game. And then people were talking about it, saying, well, that's a surprise. And then sort of out of nowhere, Jadon Sancho comes out with a public statement on his Twitter account, fuming, spewing, foaming at the mouth. Maybe, maybe not. But he said, I've been scapegoated. You don't know, there's more behind the scenes that you don't know about. Bow, what's your... I think I agree with the people that say that I would prefer all this to be kept behind closed doors, privately, right? But I also feel with this Sancho situation, like, I think Ten Hag has, it feels like he's done everything he possibly can and could do, right? He's like, no, he's the best paid player at our club, like 350 grand a week. He was given 3 months off, full mid-season, a full 3 months off, away from the spotlight, no sort of, just as helping him wherever possible. He came back into the team and it was a mixed bag. This season, where he hasn't started, mixed bag. Are you surprised that Sancho did it? Are you surprised Ten Hag said it? Like, what do you stand on it?
I'm not really a fan of airing your laundry in public. From the manager's point of view, he's probably just saying it as he sees it. Okay, well, if I put him out to dry publicly, then hopefully I might see may see a reaction. He's looking for a reaction, Fergie style. And you're right, he has kind of put the arm around his shoulder, enabled him to took him out the kind of firing line, enabled him to kind of go away, gather his thoughts, do whatever he needed to do. And there's that picture of when he came on, was it Leeds? And he's there kind of on the halfway line with
He looks like a proud dad. What he's coming on, like big smile on his face.
And and we just didn't see, and we haven't seen the Jadon Sancho at Dortmund. I'm a firm believer of the fact that that's primarily down to personnel in terms of the type of player he is. You're not going to get the best out of Jadon Sancho on the edge of our in our half or around the halfway line. You want him around the 18-yard box, playing those short passes, short cute passes like we saw against Everton to McTominay. But again, that's having like a Dortmund. He had Haaland. He had a focal point of strikers and runners around him. Maybe I'm giving him too much of a benefit of a doubt, but at the end of the day, this has happened before. He got called out about his attitude at Dortmund. It happened with England, and now it's happened again at United. So I think there's got to be an element of truth in this, and they're just not the same as they were before in terms of they don't build them like they do.
Mate, footballers definitely need to be handled differently compared to what they said. The idea that if that happened back in Fergie's day, like people are comparing it to the Beckham situation, stuff like that. It's like comparing apples and pears because footballers now are not what footballers were then. But Neil, there's no way that Sancho was advised to put that post out. Is probably what I would say. It's the sort of thing where I'm not really sure what Sancho stands to gain from releasing it, other than, well, as far as he is, he's defending his own name. He's saying that, well, I did everything in training. Well, Ten Hag, who was the manager of the club, said you didn't.
Yeah, right? It's reactive, isn't it? So it kind of speaks to someone with a fairly thin skin, because it's not like blurting something out in front of someone in the pub. You've got to take time to write it down. Then your finger hovers over the send button, and then you send it. So you sort of reacted, but then you still... You don't think for a second, maybe you don't do it. You've got to know what the consequences of that are. I mean, these guys, they're press trained, right? They know what's going to happen. That's the thing, like with social media and Twitter, it's just a direct line into people's thoughts and to reactions. But for me, that speaks to a really thin skin, right? It wasn't like Ten Hag came out and started to throw him under the bus or Mourinho style, like with Luke Shaw. He was asked a direct question about him and he gave an honest response to it, which was he wasn't up to scratch in training.
I've seen the questions being asked. Like, do you think that Ten Hag should have lied and just said, Sancho was ill? It doesn't really strike me as something that Ten Hag does. He's quite a straight bloke.
It wasn't too brutal what he said, to be honest.
I think that's what Solskjaer did too much. He protected the players. And there's something with the manager, I think that's what Fergie was really good at. He was good at protecting the players when they needed protecting from the media or the vultures. But if it was a case of to their own application, then he'd hang them out to dry.
Going back to what I said there, is like, I don't really know what Sancho thinks he stands to gain from releasing that statement.
About standing to gain. He was just
He probably did think about that.
And just reacted. And like, as a thing, there isn't that. There's that sort of very, very impermeable membrane now between a player or anybody's thoughts and the rest of the world hearing him.
It's like everything that's happened so far with Sancho and Ten Hag. It's gone down a different road now. Like Sancho has changed the direction. Some people might say that it was Ten Hag that changed that direction, and that Sancho was merely reacting, but he did react. And there's no way that Sancho could. He could easily, I can't point the finger at Sancho and say he could have kept it, his response to Ten Hag behind closed doors, because Ten Hag is the one who said it first, but Ten Hag was just doing his job, right? He was asked in a press conference.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you expect to happen off the back of this?
Well, I think I don't know. I think it probably his days are numbered. I think it speaks to the professionalism of the player. Imagine a Harry Kane or someone like that doing something like that. They just wouldn't happen. I just think we don't know what occurs. We don't have a sort of backstage pass to all this stuff. But there's obviously the sort of player that would respond in that way sounds like the sort of person that may be rather unprofessional in training. Someone that's just a little bit too easily offended, a bit too thin-skinned. I don't know. I think he's fucked it, to be honest.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of the Dele Alli with Jose. Remember that little thing, that little snippet when you kind of seemed like, I can see your potential in terms of where you can where you want to go, where you can reach, but based on your output, you're not going to get nowhere near that. I think the one good thing is there's a bit of the attention's away from United now for 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks he's got a training. I'd imagine they would have had a sit down today if they've got a couple of days off after the game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Sancho's not an international producer, is he? So he'll be a Carrington, won't he?
It's just really unhelpful. Like, on top of everything else, there's just always something in there. It's just a fucking soap opera, this club.
Mate, it's an absolute shit sandwich. It's a turd burger. Well, how else would we describe United?
I don't know, but most of yours seem to involve some form of feces and bread.
Yeah, I'm trying to a splatcher for catcher.
That was quite good, actually. Was that a note from producer Jake?
No, that was just right up there. that was producer Jake down there, who is very, very good when it comes to anything related to shit.
For obviously, the people that weren't here before, as in like everybody but us, Jake's headphones weren't working, but he was so excited. He couldn't wait to hear the pod, so he stayed to listen to it. Oh, that was adorable.
crap rap. Nice. Anybody else? Go on, Jake, write down. We'll get yours in for the end. The thing with Sancho, right, is, mate, he's on 350 grand a week. Like, we've struggled to, if this is now the situation where Ten Hag goes, right, okay, well, obviously I'm now going to have to consider shifting him, we probably won't be able to. Same situation as Maguire, no?
Same situation as every player we try to shift.
Yeah, we're saying
that. Martial's on the same, isn't he? Or similar.
Who? Martial's on like 250. Martial's on
600 grand a week for them.
I mean, if you look at what Sadio Mane and Mo Salah had to do at Liverpool, what they had to achieve on the pitch to earn that level of money and pay rise, we just fucking hand down like confetti.
Yeah, it's stupid. How old was he when he joined in that? I think he was like 22, 23 when he joined for that money, something like that.
If you flip side, you look at what City have done. They've spent 240 million, I think, with a net spend of 40.
Yep.
Because they sold brilliantly. They sold kids. I mean, we've sold Alanga and Henderson, international footballers. Probably, I think they've both played in the Champions League for less than what they sold Cole Palmer.
Yeah, mate, it's sickening. It's sickening. We sold. I'm not going to get into that. That was easily the biggest problem we had this summer, was our lack of exits. Because if it had gone properly, Maguire would have got sold, McTominay would have got sold, and we would have got Amrabat in significantly earlier. We would have got probably another midfielder on loan, probably earlier too, and we would have got another centre-back. It would have been Todibo probably playing there against Arsenal instead of Johnny. Fucking like, no, I like Johnny Evans. I like singing Johnny Evans' song when I'm in the United Way and it starts.
Does do I want to see Johnny fucking Evans? Is that
Johnny goes marching down. That's the wrong one. That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Ah, well. Too many Johnnies. Anyway, going back to what Jake said there, he's got the Shatty Patty, which is a very good one, actually. Add that into there. I'm quite happy with my Splatcher for Catcher, by the way.
I think that's the best one.
He's currently winning. Anyway, you come in for the good stuff on the podcast. You really do. Do you think Sancho goes in January, yes or no? Whoa. Do you think this is something that Ten Hag resolves with January? It's probably the easier question.
I'm trying to read what Jake's written there, but I just don't think you can move a player of that stature in terms of what his wages are.
Well, rephrase the question. Is that, do you think Ten Hag looks at this and goes, okay, this is something that I can resolve? Or is that something that really, has Sancho burned a bridge with that statement?
Well, I don't think it's that bad, because he's pretty much saying he's defending himself. And if he's defending himself in a way of saying, well, if you're calling my output and what I'm producing into question, well, then look at what those who are playing in my replacement, what are they producing? Martial, Anthony. They're not producing anything every week.
I think that's worse. Like, rather than just sort of like quietly accept some criticism, you start essentially... The word scapegoat is a problematic thing. That's just saying, like, essentially, yes, it's fucked, basically.
It's this world of modern footballers and fucking agents and then being mollycoddled, though, isn't it?
Well, Jaden, if you go back to with Jaden Sancho, I think it was the first instance of this, well, of issues, actually was when he was 16. That was before all this broke through, and he was supposed to be going on City's pre-season tour. That was when they had Brahim Diaz and Phil Foden. And he got left out of the squad to go on a tour, surprisingly, and then just didn't turn up for training. Like the City staff couldn't get hold of him. And that was kind of the first instance of it. And then 2019 was when he called out, again, when he was at Dortmund. He said that he was being humiliated and scapegoated by the Dortmund coaching staff. There's too much smoke without fire sort of thing. There's patterns across multiple clubs. And Ten Hag has tried, man. He's definitely tried. You can't say that about how Ten Hag has handled Sancho. You can't say that you might say that he's not given him enough opportunities. And I would then argue, I say, well, Sancho's probably not proven himself to win those opportunities. And then someone's going to come and say, oh, well, Anthony starts every game. And I'll say Anthony, I think, has developed. He's still got more developing to do. But yeah, well, we won't speak about Anthony. I've just done the video on that.
He's just been dropped by the Brazil squad.
Yeah, I've just read that about 15 minutes ago.
Be honest, there's loads of stuff that can sort of take the emphasis away from the Arsenal score.
Oh my God, yeah, but none of it's good.
It's all bad. That's the thing. Just keep throwing enough shit at it, people will forget that we had a pretty average game.
Let me see what's saying here. This is the Brazil statement. In light of the facts which came to light on Monday concerning Anthony, which must be investigated, and in order to safeguard the alleged victim, the player of the Brazilian national team and the CBF informs the athlete has been removed from the Brazilian national team. I wouldn't be surprised if Manchester United took a similar stance in the next, 11 days before the Brighton game. I wouldn't be surprised. If I remember with the Greenwood situation, I think Greenwood was suspended after all the images and the audio tape came out online. I think that's when they suspended him, because he's now under investigation by the Greater Manchester Police.
Well, you need to be consistent then, don't you?
Oh, well, you have to be consistent. And the same argument the same conversations that we had about Greenwood. I mean, what the fuck?
We spend so much fucking time talking about shit like this on this pod. It'd be nice to talk about football, like, just for the whole time we're on this, as opposed to like some fucking scandal.
No. But Jake's got a good one, by the way. You can have regret in a baguette. That's a good one.
A regret pretty baguette. Much.
Man, what a great pod. This has been the best pod so far. Like, what could you possibly put in a sandwich? What is your favourite sandwich, by the way? Anyone got a favourite sandwich? Favourite meal deal? Sandwich. Go for a meal deal then.
I love
a ploughman's.
Ploughman's? You got, what, of all the choices, if you go to a meal deal, you'd have a ploughman's?
No, I'm saying I like a ploughman's.
Okay, well, if you're going to have a meal deal, what are you going for?
Clarifying that one, Belgium.
You're going to like a well-stocked Tesco. What are you having for your meal deal?
I I'd still probably pick a Plowman's. Pickled onion monster munch.
Oh yeah, that's
and,
good choice.
Coke Zero.
I'm going for, I'm either going chicken and stuffing. I'm going chicken and stuffing. It's always chicken and stuffing. And I'll go flame grilled McCoy's standard.
I do love the festive triple though at Christmas.
That is actually a banger. Is that with the sausage meat in it as well as the turkey?
Yeah,
that slaps.
Sometimes you're feeling greedy, you get the all-day triple as well.
Welcome to the Topical Football Pod.
Next week, what can
We've
you
covered
put?
Poo, and now we're on to sandwiches.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to talk about the football, so that works for me.
It's the audience though, Sam. It's them that may have a problem with it.
No, I don't think they will. You can let us know in the comments below whether you enjoyed it. I suspect may have enjoyed some of it, but probably not all of it, which is pretty much what you can say every week. We might be back next week to talk about more meal deals, more other festive sandwiches. We might have a week off because it's international break. But if you did enjoy it, please leave a 5-star review. Jake is probably the best podcast that Jake's been on so far. Really, really fantastic input from him. It's nice to have a producer. I'm trying to read what his message here. How did I miss a pod dedicated to food? It's like we teased you, Jake. It was despicable, really. Bullying. As far as bullying goes on podcasts, this was basically it. But look, thank you all for listening. Hopefully we'll be back after a win. Hoyland looks good.
This is a United People's TV and Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.